Okay, mixed pod.
College football is back.
Five, three. All right, college football.
College football is back.
All right.
Oh, wow.
How you feel?
I feel good, man.
I'm excited.
I'm glad the season's back.
Florida State lost.
I called that. I called that.
That was a bad loss for them.
Yeah, I
called that. That was a bad loss, man. Yeah. Tech kept them. Georgia Tech kept them in sight.
Tech played them.
Oh, my goodness.
They out-physicaled them. They outran them up the gut.
And that's the majority of what Georgia Tech does is, like, they run the ball. They ran the ball on them, dude.
Right. Now, Florida State's a different team this year. Last year, Jordan Travis, their quarterback, was phenomenal. I mean, he made plays. He extended the game for them. He made fantastic play after fantastic play.
Mm-hmm.
Heisman candidate.
Right.
This new transfer portal guy, same guy that ran out of Clemson.
Right.
DJ Uncle.
Right. Funny name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he played the same way. You know, okay, you know, touchdown here, touchdown there. But when you need him,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you really need it, a big time play.
Right.
Doesn't make
it. He didn't show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a doubt. Yeah. But first weekend back, man, that was some good football.
Ooh, I like it.
I like it, dude.
I was watching a high school game. So
I saw one that was on a high school game. It was pretty good, I heard.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. Sailand had a good game with somebody.
I didn't see
locally.
That.
It was Sailand played somebody. They barely didn't win. Eked it out. So
Sailand lost all those recruits from last year.
Right. So they were struggling this year.
They're starting over.
Wow. But they barely eked it out. But, yeah, college football, man. You know, seeing Saban as an analyst is different. Did you see him?
Yeah.
He has no personality.
No, he is so stiff.
What's his name? Made a joke. The guy, the other podcast guy, made
McAfee.
McAfee makes a joke. He looks at him like, you douchebag. That's how Saban looks at him.
He did.
Personality. So, but they'll keep him on because of who he is.
Well, it's Nick Saban.
Just said that.
Yeah,
like, that's why. He has
none.
Zero, dude.
Zero.
And they'll tolerate that.
Yeah. Because you go from Nick Saban, from Lee Corso to Nick Saban.
That's night and day.
Night and day. Corso was loose.
Full of life.
Loose,
dude.
Full of life.
Joking. You try to put a head on Saban. Put a Ohio State head on him and he'll do this.
Saban back. You saw the food. You know, the food comes to the table.
Yeah.
Saban was like, no, I don't want that.
Come on, dude.
Come on, Saban.
That ain't good. So.
All right. This is another Mixed Pod. We want to thank our supporters. This Mixed Pod is an episode of compilation of some best moments of On and Off the Field. We hope you enjoy this special episode of On and Off the Field's Mixed Pod.
Yeah. All right, so look. Bounty Hunter segment.
Let's call Wayne
let's
one
call
more time.
Wayne, y'all. Y'all know we
got
to hit
he
Wayne.
He got a funeral to go to, so we may not get him.
I hope
not
we get him. Let's see.
I hope he didn't take somebody out or something, but he said he was going to a funeral.
Hello?
Is this Wayne the Bounty Hunter?
Yes, sir. You got it.
You know who you got on the line. It's On and Off the Field.
What's up, Wayne?
To you, Wayne. What's going on?
What's up, Wayne?
Good Saturday morning to you, sir.
Well, good morning.
All right. Now, you know you got to talk to us.
Talk to us. Give us a Bounty Hunter story, brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Bounty Hunter, Texas, take place in Texas. We went to Texas looking for this one guy. And we was up in this McDonald's. So while we was up in there, I looked over there in the corner, and I seen a guy sitting over there with this woman. And I told the boss, man, I was, hey, man. I said, that guy sitting over there with that chick over there, he's in that book that we have. You know, we have a Bounty Hunter book, people who, you know, we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and him went out to the van. We got to the van, he grabbed the book and started, and I said, now give me the book. I know where I seen the picture at. So I flipped through the book. I said, that's him right there. He looked, he said, you know what? That's show him. We went back up in there and we told the other three guys who was up in those five of us. He told the other three guys, he said, y'all let me pull my pistol first. You know, cause we was in a crowded restaurant.
Wow.
So he pulled his pistol, he hollered, Bounty Hunter free. Man, this big joker jumped up, a young virgin of Hulk Hogan.
Dang.
Wow.
Man, this guy blocked the song coming through McDonald's. Man.
He said he blocked the song.
Yeah, it was five of us. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm a man. I'd rather take him to a dance than take him to jail.
He's say you rather take him to a dance.
I'd rather take him to a dance than to take him to jail. It took off a half an hour to wrestle this big dude down. It was five of us.
What?
Wow.
It was five of us. If it had been three of us, man, we'd have had to shoot him.
Y'all not able to tase him?
Oh, at the time when I was about to hunt, Taser wasn't even out then.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Your
okay.
Taser wasn't even out then. Oh, Tail wow. Phone wasn't out then.
Wow.
You're back, you know, back in them days.
Old school. Real, you was a real deal bounty hunter days.
Dang, dude.
Dude, I'm ready to get crunk, man. I'm ready to get
This is the Final Drive Sports Jeopardy. You know I was looking at the next voice, right?
Oh,
all right, this is the I Have a Voice segment. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
That's not bad. That's not bad. That's not bad.
That's a younger in there.
That's not bad. All right, this is the sex doctor segment.
Ooh, boy.
Sex position number 21 is called the speed bump.
What?
I got to describe it to you, I guess.
Yeah, pause.
All right, so the girl's on laying down.
Okay.
Okay, face down. On the stomach. On the stomach.
Okay.
Legs are slightly spread apart,
mm-hmm.
Butt is slightly arched.
Okay.
And you come from on over top as she's like a little speed bump.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's what that was. That's what it's called. Hey, you put a name to it.
Put a name to it. They all got names, man.
That's crazy. Where did you get what? Did I ask you about the? Where did you pull
same this? Place I got it from last time? The internet.
The Google God.
Google.
What? Wow. Oh. You just said that, and he, look at that. Did you
oh
see
my
that?
Goodness.
That popped up.
Dude, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right.
Helpful hint segment.
Let's go.
We talked about the show
right.
And comments we received, how it's actually good for people's mental health.
Right.
Because we laugh so much.
So much. And this one's going to be real good for their mental health.
Yes.
Especially we'd have added these dogs on these characters, dude.
Yes, yes.
Genius idea. But the Bible says mm-hmm. that laughter is as a medicine to the soul.
I could see that.
Dude, you know what it says? That sadness rots the bones.
I could see
heaviness
that.
Rots the bones.
I could see that.
But joy, it actually gives you
it
life.
Uplifts you.
It invigorates you. A person.
It's an ultimate rush.
Right. Best drug ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, and I said this earlier, when we create, and I want to say this, when we create every idea we have that's mm-hmm. a good idea,
mm-hmm.
it gives God glory because God's, his character, one of his names is Creator, Elohim, Yahweh is Creator. So right. That means he's Creator God. So whatever, everything he spoke came from an idea.
Right.
So he came on nothing and said, let there be light. Where was light at?
Right.
Nowhere, but it got there.
Right.
There was no light to pull from. He said, let there be, because I want it. So we create.
Right, right.
We're environmental architects.
Yes.
So we change environments. So like a genius, a person that's a genius, mm-hmm. they give God glory all the time because they got these genius ideas.
From what do you think? God.
From God. He's the source of every idea we have.
Interesting.
So when a genius operates,
very inspiring to hear that.
When a genius operates, they don't even realize that they're glorifying God. People look at a genius operate and they see God. That's God at work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when I see you do stuff and it blows my mind, I'm like, God, that's the Holy Ghost. That's God. It's God's spirit. It's Creator. You're an environmental architect. You change. If the environment is not what you want it to be, you change it. And if it's not there, you create it.
You create it.
That's what we're empowered and gifted to do.
Facts.
So shout out to every genius. You giving God glory. And don't even. You know what? I wish I could meet a genius atheist. You didn't even know. You giving every good idea you got. Who you think you got it from? You're not a real atheist.
They're looking at it from a science.
I know, but you see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Every idea we get
from God.
I ain't mean to go there.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all good.
All right. It's all about the relationship segment. How important is networking? Oh my goodness.
Extremely.
Super.
So such a, you don't, I'm sure people listening will know, it's a very small world.
Right.
When you think about it.
It really is.
And in your networking, you'd be surprised how much you come across the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And if like you want, and if you could add somebody to your team that mm-hmm. can help you along the way.
Right.
It's a benefit to both parties.
You know what? As a matter of fact, I guarantee you that the first person that said, it's a small world. I bet they were doing that networking.
Networking. Exactly.
That term came when they were networking.
Right.
It's right. A, you know, I've such and such, Kevin, and such and such. Oh, you know Kevin? I know Kevin. You mean Kevin? Such and such. Yeah. It's a small world. Networking. Right. All right.
All right.
The arts
this is
segment.
The arts segment.
Oh, and you got, man, come on, bro. You got the. You
number
got the.
21 has found its way into various works of literature, art, and mythology. Serving as a symbol of completion, transition, and personal
if
growth.
If y'all can see his face while he's trying to do this, his cheeks are so tight. He looks so haughty. Go ahead. His face tight as hell. You just, I looked up when you got Botox. You look like you got Botox. It was no wrinkles.
That would have bridged me.
That's how I know. Y'all need to see his face. We got to add video real soon, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. You got to start over.
What?
Life, listen, life moment segment. I'm gonna need my my hand clap to do this. You know, in order to do this, to get me in this mode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the U.S., the legal age of drinking and smoking, not that you should be, and entering nightclubs is 21. But if you're going to the club. At 21, I ain't gonna preach. So the 21st birthday, y'all don't hear me, is a significant turning point. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
For a young adult, as they're now able to partake, or watch young adults as you partake. Touch not, taste not, oh, that's not in there. Partake in more adult attack. Activities, even messing the preacher's voice up. I rebuke thee illegally. Well, that's interesting, though. That eagle age for drinking, smoking, and entering nightclub. 21st birthday is that significant turning point.
Yeah.
It is, dude.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that briefly. You said that when you turned 21, you were in a club.
Margaritaville.
That you could not get into before.
And that was the first place I went to.
Say it one more time. You got to get it right.
An ode to McNutt.
Again, y'all got to see his face. He looked like he smelled some steak. And
ode to McNutt.
What's up, coach?
What's up, coach?
Episode 22, man. So
I went all out,
what,
man.
What? Oh, man.
You said.
We're going to get her. The first time we did the poems to McNutt. Come on, dude.
I didn't do good,
and you didn't do good.
And you said we failed.
We make failed.
So I went all out, and mm-hmm. and so this whole episode now right. is about poetry and Monica McNutt.
An ode. Okay.
An
ode. All right, so what is an ode?
So an ode is a form of lyric poetry mm-hmm. expressing emotion, and it's usually addressed to someone or something.
Can you think of one right off the top? Like
it's a poem. I mean, it's
like a particular one. Like if I, an ode to, because I've heard somebody say an ode to this, I have an ode to that, and I'm trying
like
to remember.
Shakespeare. I think
right.
Shakespeare.
That's an ode, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, then.
So here's the first poem to Monica McNutt.
Get
dedicated
ready, Monica.
To you. We wrote this. It's so this is the first one. An ode to McNutt.
An ode. All right. A style preserved, captured emotions of host, daily reminders of why. Grace and intelligence radiate. This is already better than the first one. Golly. A smile that rises in the east. Ooh, and sets in the west. A lean is more historic than the than the Tower of Pisa. Leader of women, the epitome of health is wealth. Natural beauty like spring water flowing down the mountain. Skin displays the perfect shade of brown. Lips that attract to inform, not lust. Woo! A soul to inspire. Boy, look at him. Don't touch me. 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 Shoot.
Is that better? Is that better?
You get a hand clap.
All right.
That's fire. All right. So look, having said that, brother, Let's get it on, baby. Hey.
All right.
Welcome to On and Off the Field, sports podcasting with a purpose. We got y'all on the field, Coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy, Coach Boston, a.k.a. Still a Nation since 1976.
It's your boy, Mr. You Better Live, a.k.a. Yeah.
Well,
y'all don't hear me.
WNBA
segment. WNBA segment. So, yeah. Monica Magnut did not play in the WNBA, huh? Well, but in her collegiate career, did you hear what I said?
Let me hear.
She had some numbers. Y'all want to hear these numbers, huh?
Yes. Preach.
She had Monica Magnut average, huh? 11.2 points a game, 4.3 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 1.8 steals. Ooh. Moreover, she amassed a career 1,172 points, 474 rebounds, 139 assists.
Amen.
192 steals and 36 blocks. You don't hear me?
Hey, I hear and you. In, and,
turn to your neighbor. And in both her junior and senior years, she led the Hornets to two consecutive NCAA tournament runs. Include a spot in the 2011 Sweet 16.
I think it's time.
Hold on. Guess what? My battery dead.
Are you serious?
My battery dead. Look, y'all. It's the Yoda moment. Oh, and my battery dead. My phone did. Oh my goodness. All right. Yoda moment, come on.
Okay. All right. So I did another research. This says, by his word, we understand him. This is John 1.
Mm-hmm.
So by his poetry, we are introduced to a God that is creative, enigmatic, beautiful. God chooses to use poetry to spread his gospel, which is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And this other quote says, the third section of the Bible is the poetry section.
Okay.
It is made up of five books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Solomon.
Okay.
So the question is, discuss poetry in the Bible.
Okay. That's huge. And all of those books you named. Even Job being considered as poetry, that's heavy. Because if you read the book of Job, it's rough. He went through, bro. He lost everything before he got everything back.
Right.
But anyway, poetry in the Bible, of course, they're called psalms, and the people that do them are called psalmists, and I consider myself a psalmist. And Solomon, who I think was probably one of the reason I think Solomon was one of the top poets in the Bible is because Solomon asked God for wisdom. To be the wisest person to ever walk the earth, and God gave him that wisdom. So, somebody that wise, imagine him penning a poem.
Right.
So, I think he was probably huge with it, and a lot of poetry was just mentioned in the Psalms, but they're actually songs. Like, for instance, songs of ascent. Like in the latter part of the Psalms, like Psalm 147, 148, 140, they start going up the hill. In other words, they're going to worship. So, while they was going up the hill, they would recite the poetry. While it was going up the hill, and everybody would recite it.
Okay.
You know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house, to the house of the Lord. They're going up there with the song of ascent.
Right.
So that's what that poetry / songs were.
Right.
So it was big with that. I'm going to tell you something else was big with poetry. People don't realize. When you got ready to go to war, the armies would chant these poems of like war poems, and they'd be in the mountains where they did it, which would spread an echo. And the other
with
armies,
the drums,
yes,
too,
with the drums, and chanting the poetry. Right. And they would chant this, and it was you speak words. Words, you got to think about something. Words is power.
Right.
It manifests. So when they would say that, they built. By the time they get to the enemy, they crump. Like we are before we do our on and off the field podcast.
Right.
So yeah, that poetry served as a sign of comfort, of reassurance, praise, war. They went to war on poetry. It's amazing. So deep. It's huge in the Bible, man.
Wow.
Poetry's moving. Yep. Hey. Got that music. Got that. Yoda, 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 Yoda. I can't believe my phone was dead. Listen, you know what? That's how real we keep it right here. Y'all, phone dead as a donut. I go to Bristol, no response.
Five, an ode to Mackinac. This again is from Phyllis Wheatley, one of the first African-American female poets, and this is specifically to a painter.
To show the laboring bosom's deep intent and thought in living characters to paint. When first thy pencil did those beauties give, and breathing figures learnt from thee to live, how did those prospects give my soul delight? A new creation rushing on my sight. Still, wondrous youth, each noble path pursue. O deathless glories, fix thine ardent view. Still may the painter's and the poet's fire to aid thy pencil and thy verse conspire.
I sounded like the dude from Thriller.
That monster on Bugs Bunny. All right, number six.
Yes, sir.
An ode to McNutt.
Ooh.
All right, this is taken from Maya Angelou, and we're going to read it together. It's called Still I Rise.
All right. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise.
Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room.
Go ahead.
Just like the moons and like the suns with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I rise.
Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes. Shoulders falling down like teardrops. Weakened by my soulful cries. Does my hardiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard. Cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness. But still, like air, I'll rise.
Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs?
Well,
one of the huts of history's shame, I rise.
Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise.
I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise.
Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise.
Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of a slave. I rise.
I rise.
I rise. Fire!
Hey.
Come on,
Maya. They might need to pay us for that. Where Maya at?
Maya. I didn't know this.
What's
she
happened?
Passed away. I didn't know that.
When?
Man, 2014, I think.
Man, no.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody told me nothing.
Nobody told me nothing.
Ow. No, not toward Maya, but Ricky Smiley. He did this prank one time. He called the funeral home. He said, "Yeah, hello. Yeah, I was trying to see what you have in the funeral today." Yes, ma'am. What you got on now? Well, we got Mr. Larry Howe. Mr. Larry Howe.
me, Mr. Leroy. Well, nobody told me nothing.
And then he has thought, he said, well, what else she got? Say, we got to know that 2:30. Well, who that is? Everybody make that. Who that is? We got Miss Delabree, bro.
Miss Delabree? Ain't nobody. Ah, Delabree!
And he was trying to calm her down. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Say, ma'am, we used to cut my yard. And he was going to die. Okay. Boy, that used to be funny, boy. Shout out to Ricky Smiley.
Ricky Smiley.
I wish we could interview you.
I know. We need to put him on the mix.
All right,
it's all about the relationship segment.
All right.
Have you ever dated a female basketball player?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have. She was like a lot taller than me. So I had to kind of.
Was that an issue?
Well, only when I kissed her.
Okay.
And we were standing up.
Okay.
Yeah. It looked, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember. I don't know what happened. Hold on. I remember when I was living in Pensacola. Wait a minute. Coach. I remember when I was living in Pensacola. I was stationed. Wait. I was stationed in Pensacola. I got to get it out. I was stationed in Pensacola, right? And it was this club we used to go to. Kind of like, you know, Mobile and Pensacola, a lot of like, you know that.
Okay,
so
okay.
I'm going to make this quick.
Okay.
So it was this midget pimp, no lie. He got this. It was this pimp. He was a midget. I'm not lying. He used to drive his car with 3 phone books. He was sitting on 3 phone books. So look, coach, I gotta get it out. I'm not lying. So he ran into one of his workers, right? Apparently, she wasn't in the spot she was supposed to be in. It pissed him off, dude. It was probably dust dark. It wasn't all the way dark, so you could still see pretty good. That's how I saw the phone books. So when she came, she showed up at the club. But he said, so he, I ain't gonna say what he said, but he called a few names. And then right before she said, okay, Dad, I'm gonna go there. He said, before you go there, pick me up. He said, pick me up. She picked him up and he slapped the taste out of my mouth. Oh my goodness, dude.
Are you serious?
I would never forget that. I was in the Navy and I was stationed in Pensacola. He said, pick me up so I can slap you.
He might slap you.
At first, she didn't want to pick him up, you know. But, you know, she worked for him. Listen, y'all. I'm not lying about this.
Oh, my God.
This is in Pensacola, Florida. I was there from 90 to 92. So, it was somewhere in between there. Out Paddle Fox Road.
Yeah, they do have
places. Paddle Fox, yeah. I'm telling you. I'm not lying to y'all. A midget pimp. He slapped that lady so hard. What tripped me out was she picked him up so he could slap her. He said, pick me up. He told her, said, pick me up so I can slap you before you go to your spot. She said, no. She finally picked him up. Okay, we back
she
up.
Probably hold him like this. Like,
dude, he slapped the taste out of her mouth. And she put him down and she went over to the to the hush spot.
Oh my God.
I would never forget that.
As long as I live. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know how we went there.
And that came from a female basketball player, me, because she was a lot taller than me.
It's all good. This is number 9.
All right.
Wait a minute. Okay. Sing in harmony. Time to see. The dance starts early. Light barely on. Did nature ever sleep? A jungle rainforest with prey. Take flight, soar into the darkness over the leaves. No fear but that of life. The lone oak tree playground.
To make nut.
That was fire.
To make nut.
I like that.
Another ode to make nut.
Make nut.
This is number 10.
All right. Sounds filter the air. Animals fight for attention. Clouds illustrate the first bloom. Colors fill the senses. Our fingers brush. Two breaths of foreplay. Disappear into one another world. God's light to bless. Almost there. Our fingers touch, forever connected. Fire.
All right.
Yeah, we went out, bro. All right. Oh, you got this one, huh?
Okay. An ode to Meknut. This is number 11.
All right.
Spirits of kind. Firefall leaves. Night moves and fast. Nature's air conditioning.
Mm.
Romance and folly.
Mm-hmm.
Give way to the day. The Ernie Barnes self-portrait. A Monica, not a Mona.
Oh, that was good.
An ode to
the Meknuts. We have an interesting show, y'all. It's on and off. I'm telling you, we cover on and off the field. I'm telling y'all, real talk. You know what? We gotta give
the bounty hunter.
It's the bounty hunter free time. We gotta get him on the phone.
Wayne told me that he actually was holding back because he thought this was a quote unquote family show. That we were live on the radio.
Right.
And I explained to him, this is a podcast. I said, we want the real deal. Do not hold back. I said, if you got anything to say.
If we need to edit, we'll edit.
That's what I told him. Right. I said, we'll edit. I said, just let us hear it.
Well, having said that, what's happening?
Let's call Wayne.
Hello?
Wayne the Bounty Hunter, welcome to the show. You know who it is, on and off the field. How you doing this morning, sir?
What's up, Wayne?
Hey, what's happening?
You know what we call it for.
We want to hear the real deal.
We got to hear the real deal, man.
Give us a bounty hunter story.
Come on with it, Wayne.
Okay. There's one place we went looking for this guy, and he figured, well, I ain't going in. I'm not going. So we had the house around it. So we are telling him to come out, bounty hunter, come out. So next thing we know, he opened the door and sicked the dog on us.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What type of
he
dog?
Sicked the dog. Look like a Rottweiler.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Kind of what I am, a Rottweiler in the mix. It was mixed with whatever it was.
Was it barking like you bark?
No, can't bark like me. But it was a big dog. He was mixed, you know. He was mixed with Rottweiler and something. I don't know what it was.
Right.
Anyway, he sick the dog on us, so we get ready to shoot the dog. So I'm in the back door, man, as usual. So I step around on side of the house, and I seen the dog barking at them. You know, like he getting ready to attack.
Right.
So all of a sudden, I cut loose on him. You know what I'm saying?
You cut loose on the dog.
I cut loose on the dog barking.
Okay.
You start barking like the dog?
Yeah, I went. next thing I know, the dog, he done ran up under the house. So when he ran up under the house, then we went up in the house. So next thing we know, he done grabbed the woman, talking about, if y'all don't drop y'all gun, I'm going to shoot her.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, he telling us, we got him surround telling us he going to shoot her. So I told him, I said, man, I'm going to tell you just like to him. I hope you don't shoot her. But if you shoot her, all us going to shoot you.
Oh, yeah.
All us going to shoot
you.
Wow. So he politely dropped his gun and we took him on in.
Wow, that was intense. I like the fact that you, I figure you're going to have to bark at that.
What's the national flower of Japan? They have a season that named after it.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You were blowing. You messed me up, man. You gave me a good hit, but but the accent. What is it? It's
cherry blossom.
Cherry
blossom.
All right. How many stripes are there on the U.S. flag?
They're about 12, buddy.
Close. 13. All right. What's the national animal of Australia?
The kangaroo.
Yes! You need to do the sound.
You said, you need to do the sound.
All right. Come on. How many days does it take for the Earth to orbit the sun?
That's a good question. I don't know. How many?
365.
300. Wow. Really, Rick?
Which of the following empires had no written language? Incan? Aztec?
You said. Egyptian? What's that first one? What's the first one?
What the Roman.
What's the first one? Say that first one again.
Incan.
Oh my goodness. Oh, the Aztecs.
Incan. That was your hint.
Incan. We're going to solicit prayer.
It ain't prayer.
For y'all. You know what time it is. My battery ain't dead this time.
Battery on point.
All right, Yoda in the building. What's up?
All right. So episode 23.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we're going to talk about Psalm 23.
Okay.
You need me to read it?
No, go ahead. Which one to talk?
I just want to know about it.
Okay.
Obviously, that's one of the ones you see people getting tattoos. You see bumper stickers.
Right,
posting. I mean, it's so cliche, Psalms 22, to be honest. Non-church people have Psalms 23 tattooed all over. So tell me about
Could you read it?
Let's read it.
And I want you to read it. Now, when you read it, I'm going to stop you for a reason. I want to point out something.
The Lord is my shepherd. Mm-hmm. I shall not want.
Okay.
Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Okay.
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
All right.
Verse 3, He restoreth my soul.
Okay.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Okay.
Verse 4,
uh-huh.
Ye though I walk through the valley
right
of the...
Stop right there.
Okay.
The first three verses, He leading them.
Okay.
Read verse 4.
Ye though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
uh-huh.
I will fear no evil.
Uh-huh.
For thou art with me.
Now, stop.
Okay.
He started leading them first.
Mm-hmm.
Went from leading them to walking beside them.
Okay.
Keep going.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Mm-hmm.
Thou preparest a table before me
mm-hmm.
in the presence of mine enemies.
Okay.
Thou anointeth my head with oil.
Keep going.
My cup runneth over.
Keep going.
Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Stop. He went from leading them,
walking beside them. Now he's
behind them.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
So I did that for a reason.
Okay.
So that's a shepherd's psalm. David, ironically, is a shepherd himself.
Okay.
So ironically, he's saying the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd is saying that the Lord is his shepherd. The irony. Because David was a shepherd boy.
Interesting.
He was on the backside of the mountain tending sheep. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
And Jesus, see the parallel?
Yes.
We're his sheep. And that was a shepherd saying, he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So he knew the care that a shepherd took care of with the sheep. That's why he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The reason I shall not want is because I don't let my sheep go wanting. It's my job to take care of them, so he's going to take care of me. He's, and I shall not want. He makes me. Then he starts to tend to him. He says, he tends to me. He restores my soul.
Yeah.
He makes me to lie down. Makes. You notice he said makes?
Yes.
Sheep are stubborn. You have to make them rest. They have anxiety.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, sheep have anxiety. They're easily flustered. They don't like moving water. They like still water, which is worse for them. Moving water is better. They shy away. Yeah. So he's showing the compassion that the shepherd has and the care he has for the sheep. He anoints my head with oil. The reason he anoints his head is there's a reason for that. It's a spiritual reason, but there's a natural reason. Right. There's these flies and these things that irritate sheep, and they get into their nostrils and they lay eggs, which go to their brain. But there's this anointing oil, this oil that the shepherd puts together. It's a special oil. When he puts it on his head and puts it around their nose, then that prevents them from going in there. So that's what shoes him away. So he says, he anoints my head with oil.
So that's where that comes from. Okay.
Yes, that's why he does. There's a reason for it. Another reason he anoints the sheep's head with oil too. So if two sheep disagree, this is going to be real good. If two sheep disagree, and when they usually disagree, they actually bump heads. But if both of their heads are oily, they slide off. So they can't fight.
Oh, wow. That's
the reason for everything. So that's just part of that. I could go on and on because I did a whole teaching on the 23rd Psalm, like line by line. I did like a 2-week teaching on it. So, yeah. That's just a few of the nuggets of Psalm 23. I could go on. I could tell you why he say he restores my soul. There's something behind that, too. Why he says he restores my soul. When a sheep has to be sheared.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not sheared, their wool gets big, right?
Right.
So when they lay down, they become their feet. They lose their feet, their footing.
Right.
They become what's known as cast, C-A-S-T.
Okay.
That's why David said, "Why are you cast down?" He said, "You restore." So when a sheep becomes cast, it's dangerous for physical reasons.
Right.
Because the blood flow leaves the extremities.
Right.
Goes to the body. It's pressure on the heart, and
same as like when a cow is just,
right. Yes, right. Yeah, so yeah. If a sheep is cast, it becomes dangerous for the sheep. And so if the shepherd doesn't notice it and he doesn't come and restore, that's why he said he restores my soul. He comes and stands the sheep back up. And what he does is he doesn't just stand them up. He massages the extremities so the blood can go back into it. It doesn't just stand them up and leave because they'll fall back again. He restores my soul. Yeah, and here's a spiritual nugget because you asked for this.
Yeah, I want it.
The wool stands spiritually is representative of the flesh.
Okay.
Too much of us and we'll forget about who we really are. Too much flesh and you forget who you really are.
Right.
And flesh cause you to lose your footing in life. You become cast. You become cast down.
Facts.
Yes. And he has to come and restore you, stand you back up on your feet, and then massage, get the blood flow back, and restore you fully.
I like that, man.
Yes. That's the 23rd song.
Yoda, 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 Yoda.
Y'all just thumbs up.
All right.
Green flag
segment.
Oh, wow.
Jews have averred in their religious writings about doing a good deed. They call it a mitzvah. If you save a life, it's as if you saved the world.
Matzabal.
Mitzvah.
Mitzvah.
It's a good word.
Now, you did a good Jewish voice. That's good.
This is called helpful hint segment.
All right.
Okay. It's okay to create boundaries. And then again, this is mainly meant for women, single women, just to be careful out there.
Right.
So regardless if you're out alone or with a group of friends, if you ever feel uncomfortable or unsafe with someone's attention towards you, do not be afraid to put distance between yourself and the individual.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing rude about protecting yourself in a potentially unsafe situation. At the end of the day, always remember to follow your instinct. Remember, most men don't want to deal with a psycho.
Ooh, right. They sure don't.
Yeah.
Followed. All right. Hey, here we go. Sports Jeopardy. Woo.
All right. Let's go.
Don't forget your music now with this.
What I got?
All right. This is the fill in the blank.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, boy. So after you, if you get it, you hit the button.
With my music?
Yes, that one.
Which one?
That one right there.
Okay. Uh-huh.
All right. Ready?
All right.
Blank Willow.
Blank Willow. Blank Willow. Wow, why am I not?
Female.
Why is that escaping me?
Female body part.
Wait a minute, female body part.
Oh. Can't live without.
Oh, Pussy Willow.
Okay. Big Blank Willow.
Big Pussy Willow.
Wet Blank Willow.
Wet Pussy Willow.
Blank Cat.
Pussy Cat.
Stanky Blank Cat.
Stanky Pussy Cat.
Fat Blank Cat.
Fat Pussy Cat. boy.
Red flags. If you see Florida State's quarterback DJ Uiagalelei in the transfer portal,
shut him down. Go call the police or something. call waste management, because that's who's gonna fund his NIL. Waste management. Yeah, they funding his NIL.
Did you see the meme? They had, they got the halftime show, the Dr. Pepper challenge, where they have the soda cans, the big soda cans.
Yeah, right.
And you got to throw it. We got one kid trying to get scholarship money.
Right.
They showed one where the girl was on the right side and she was pushing it like a basketball. She was, it was going in. All of them were going in. And on the left side was DJ and he was throwing it over in the stands on the ground. He was hitting the
trash, dude. Never have I ever segment.
Okay.
Bark for yes, I have. Meow for no, I have not.
Okay.
You're going to do this. Never have I ever broken a bone. Do I have to? Do I have to bark too? Or are you doing it?
Yeah.
Never have I ever Googled myself. You Googled yourself?
Yes.
Okay. Never have I ever traveled solo. Never have I ever seen a ghost.
Meow.
Never have I ever toilet papered someone's house.
Meow.
Never have I ever laughed so hard I spit out my drink. Never have I ever pretended to be on the phone. I have too. I've pretended to be on the freaking phone before. Absolutely. It's been On and Off the Field, sports podcasting with a purpose. You got the On the Field Coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy Coach Boston, a.k.a. Still a Nation since 1976.
And you got your Off the Field Coach, it's Yoda, since 1968. We out.
Peace.
Peace.